There it is. And now I'll put the study up, wherever it is. Here it is. We shall blow the trumpet on the Sabbath. Well, Shabbat Shalom. Very good. Here we are in a beautiful, unbelievable, almost November, and it's going to be 88 degrees here in Tennessee. Feels like we're in a different state. But anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chaba Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And Adat Yisrael, just a little piece, you know, just a small piece. And it's the Sabbath. We're in Hole in Wall, Tennessee, High Forest. There's our phone numbers. There's our website in case you have to contact us or if you need to contact us. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study today. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, first I always ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, anything that would separate us from a holy living God. Bless this Sabbath, Lord and God. Teach us something that we probably need to know and help us in every aspect of our life. Lead, guide, and direct us. Father, I praise and thank you for the knowledge you give us and the revelation of your word. Bless everyone on the internet. Bless everyone here. I pray you'll heal everyone, strengthen everyone. Father, I pray for souls. You show us where they are. Show us what you want us to do to get them here, or however you want to do it, Father. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. And I just thank God for another Shabbat and for the peace of God. Let it rule in our hearts. And may God bless you today with the shalom of the Lord. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Such a beautiful day today. Such a unusual day. I don't remember an October like this. 88 almost. Yeah. Well, my ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to bring up subjects and topics maybe that are not familiar to you. I like to undelete them. My website is still running back there. Thank God for that battery. It's still working. We got a new battery, so that helps that out. You can read the studies and listen to them and watch them. And yeah, it is amazing listening to my early studies. I listen to them myself, and my voice sounds so young and like so, you know, everything's different. Of course, obviously, 15 years ago, you know. Anyway, here's the MP3s. You could download them to your MP3 players. We're streaming right now on the internet, I hope. And let's see, what else are we doing? We're in Pow Talk, of course. I haven't received any invitations yet to come to anyone's congregation or whatever they have, their group. I used to receive some. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? I'm still here. I'm still ready to come. Today is October 29th, a couple of days left to this month. You guys know it's 2016. Wow, 2016. It's amazing. And let's see. Yehovah has his own calendar. We're in the seventh month, Ha'etanim, the 27th day. And that's part of October and November. Just want to remind everybody the new moon is coming. And, of course, you all know the new moon starts in the evening. It's going to be on the second day in November, which is Wednesday. So that means Tuesday night is the new moon. Lord willing, we'll be online for the month of Bul, and that means, I hope it means rain, because we saw it sure need it. And there it is right there, 1 Kings 6:38. So it's going to be the month of Bul. Today's topic is, by love, serve one another. And I was thinking about this a lot for some reason this week. And I put a little extra words in these sentences, that's why I put paraphrased, okay? And I always like Brother John because he's just like straightforward. He hits the nail on the head, and it's like sometimes it sounds severe. John says, he, or I put she, that saith they are in the light and they hate their brother or sister, They're in darkness even unto now, whether they know it or not. And he or she that loves their brother or sister abides in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in them. But he or she that hates their brother or sister is in darkness and walks in darkness, and they know not whether they go. Because the darkness obviously blinds your eyes. When you go out there in the dark, you can't see where you're going, right? John says, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brothers and sisters. He that loveth not his brother or sister, you abide in death, whether you know it or not. Whosoever hates his brother or sister is a murderer. Boy, see how severe that is? That's like severe. And you know that no murderer had eternal life abiding in them, right? That's pretty terrible, actually. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because Messiah laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whosoever had this world's goods and seed his brother or sister have need, and you shut up your bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in you? Probably doesn't. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but also make sure it's in deed and in truth. So not just in physically, but make sure it's in truth when you do it physically. Make sure you know who you're helping out. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He or she that loves not, know it not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And I don't know if I put the open sign on. It's not on. Could somebody turn that on? Okay. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So he's the atonement sacrifice for us. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's really important. No person has seen God in all his omnipotent power at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. And if a man or a woman say, I love God, and hate his brother or sister, they are liars. Wow. For he or she that hates not his brother, that loves not his brother and sister whom he had seen, surely how could you love God whom you haven't seen? So that's a good way of looking at it. And this is a commandment we have from him, that he or she that loves God loves his brother or sister also. So it's a commandment to love your brother and sister as you love God. And I was thinking about, you should not rest, pervert judgment. That's the way I have to be. You should not respect persons. That's the same. That's the way I have to be when I deal with any situation. James says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Paul tells the Romans, there's no respect to persons with God. And that's really important. So you might think that you're getting away with something. Not really. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy brother or thy neighbor. So that's what I have to do. I can't look at anyone's person or their caliber or their statute or their whatever they got there, rich or poor, or who knows if they're smart or not that smart, or who. I have to look at the whole situation. Chronicles tells us, wherefore now let the fear of Jehovah be upon you, and take heed and do it, that there be no iniquity with Jehovah. For there is no iniquity with Jehovah our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. So there's nothing we could bribe God with, you know. Can't buy God off, right? Proverbs says, these things also belong to the wise. So if you're wise, I would take note of this. It's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. That's really important when people judge a matter. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that person will transgress. And this is the word respect in the Hebrew, and this is in a bad way. It means to scrutinize, that is, to look intently at, revere, or with suspicion implied. Some people do that with other people. To disregard or ignore, be strange toward, reject, resign, dissimulate, as if ignorant or disowning. Dissemble, estrange, feign self to be another, behave, make self strangely or strange. That word nahar is a pretty important word there. And I took out all the words in respect in a bad way, you know. We don't want to have any of those kind of attributes on us. You shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You should not be afraid of the face of mankind, for the judgment is God's. This is really important when we do everything, if we're going to do everything righteously. Here's a few words, worldly terms that the world made up. They have this word called compromise. And listen to what it means. It means a settlement of differences by mutual concession, an agreement reached by adjustment of conflicting or opposing claims, principles, or by reciprocal modification of demands. So that's being when you try to compromise. Here's agree to disagree or agreeing to disagree, to decide not to argue about something anymore. A phrase in English referring to a resolution of a conflict, usually a debate or a quarrel, whereby all parties, now this has to be all parties, tolerate but do not accept the opposing position or positions. That's what that means. It generally occurs when all sides recognize that further conflict is unnecessary, ineffective, or otherwise undesirable. They may also remain on amicable terms while continuing to disagree. That's what agreeing to disagree. Live and let live. You heard of that before, right? Is to accept other people as they are, although they may have a different way of life. That's really terrible. You know, I mean, we try to live morally, and we try to live without conflict, and we try to, you know, let people just do their own, you know, people out there. We're not going to do anything to anyone, you know. How about excuses to apologize for some oneself or an act that could cause offense, to make allowance for, overlook, excuses? That's bad, to make excuses. And then we all know what a debate is, a discussion as of a public question in an assembly involving opposing viewpoints, right? So some of these things might occur in your life. All I know is scripture says, I keep reading, you should not respect persons in judgment. And this is the same verse I just read. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You should not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that's too hard for you, bring it out to me and I'll hear it. Thou shalt not pervert judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons. Take a gift. For anyone that does... For a gift blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. So that's important. I'm still always wondering about all the people that promise they're going to, with all their heart, they're going to come to the service and they don't show up. They don't even realize they're liars. They're lying. And they're going to bring me all these things. They said they're going to bring me and they're going to, you know, all these things. And Ephesians says, and you masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Everyone seems to know this. That's Paul to the Ephesians. Paul to the Colossians says, but he or she that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which they have done, and there is no respect of persons. Peter says, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judge it according to every man's work, pass the time you're sojourning here in fear. So even the Father, there's no respect of persons. And when you look up this subject, it's abundantly everywhere in the Bible. It's so talked about and spoken about. that it must be a situation that might occur, you know, frequently or around. So are you partial in the law? And that's nosim panim batorah. And what that says really literally in the Hebrew, you're lifting up your face against the Torah, you know? You become partial in the law, you know? Of course, Malachi says, therefore have I made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the Torah. Paul tells Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, and the elect angels that observe these things without being preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. So everything has to be fair, honest, and correct. James says, are you then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? So being partial and evil thoughts sort of are kin. They go together. You start thinking different things about people. You may not even know it's an evil thought. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easily to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. That's what we're supposed to be doing and having, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Right. Proverbs says, if thou hast done foolishly and lifted up yourself, or if thou hast thought evil, you better lay your hand upon your mouth. Stop it. Ezekiel says, therefore, thus saith the Lord Yehovah, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he had shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. So God hates any kind of pride or pomp or anyone exalting themselves over anyone else or thinking they're better than anyone else because of whatever reason that the devil puts in their brain. Daniel says, this happened in Daniel's time, but thou hast lifted up thyself against Jehovah of heaven, and thou hast brought the, this is that, I think it's Belteshazzar, you know, that guy. He says, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, and have drunk wine in them, and hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God which in whose hand your breath is in his hand, and whose are all thy ways, you haven't glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and his writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. And I'll just read it in English. Meeni, meeni, tukal, yufarsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meeni, God had numbered the kingdom and finished it. Tikel, oh, that your weight in the balances and found lacking, you know, wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet. That's not going to help. And a chain of gold about his neck, and made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom, which that's not going to help at this point. You know why? Because in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Anyway, there's that word nasa, in this case that I'm talking, to lift up or raise up, to lift up the hand, to do violence, carry away, exalt, self, and pride, self, lift, up, lofty, magnify, pardon yourself from respect of persons, partiality, you know. So this is something we don't want these attributes. And then in the book of his scripture, it says in Exodus 20:16, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. False witness. What is false in Hebrew? So we have kasher, and that means an untruth, by implication, a sham, often adverbially, without a cause, deceit, deceitful, false, falsehood, feignly, that means ungenuine, liar, lying, vain thing, wrongfully. Then we have shakar. It means to cheat, that is, to be untrue, usually in words. Frail, fail, deal, falsely, lie. So this is something else that we have to be careful of. Exodus 20:16, you're not supposed to bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Deuteronomy 5:20. This is another topic that seems to be abundant in the Bible. Deuteronomy 19:16, if a false witness rise up against any person to testify against them, that which is wrong, then both the people between whom the controversy is shall stand before Yehovah, and the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. That's what I like to do. And behold, if the witness be false witness, and have testified falsely against a brother or sister, then shall you do unto them as they had thought to do unto you. And the whole idea is to put away evil from among you and from the congregation, you know. We want to make sure everything's done correctly. And those which hear, they're supposed to fear and henceforth commit no more such evil among you. Yeah. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, you know, and that's pretty straightforward, you know. Psalm says, David, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. And that's happened recently again with people that we don't even hate, and people that we even give donations to numerically, you know, and they hate us without a cause. And they say we hate them and we don't. And they try to cause harm to certain people in the congregation. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to our charge things that I knew not. And they call us names, you know. Now, this is a scary thing, because this is God in the universe that created the universe. He says, the six things that Yehovah hates, and seven of them are an abomination. And I think it's all seven. One, a proud look. Two, a lying tongue. Three, hands that shed innocent blood. Four, you got to watch out what comes out of your mouth, because it's in your heart. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. And, of course, seven, he that sowed discord among brothers and sisters. So God doesn't like that at all. So be careful what comes out of your mouth, because that's really in your heart. So you better check your heart out. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. A false witness will not lie. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that or she that speaks lies shall not escape. Every time I read that, I always think you're still going to meet the Lord. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he or she that speaketh lies shall perish. Proverbs 21:28, a false witness shall perish, but the man or woman that hears speak it the same thing all the time, constantly, and that righteously. That's what that means. A man or woman that beareth false witness against his neighbor, you're just a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. You're just trying to hurt, you know. Paul tells the Romans, owe no one anything but to love one another. For anyone that loves one another, you've actually fulfilled the Torah. Wow. That's really important. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. A lot of people I've noticed in the past, and maybe even recently, they covet other people's successes or blessings that God may have given them. Thou shalt not covet, and if there's any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this mere saying, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. So you figure, how do you love yourself? I hope you do love yourself, and that's how you're supposed to love your brother and sister, right? So if you don't talk about yourself, that means you shouldn't talk about your brother and sister. You shouldn't have any kind of anything against yourself. I hope not. And don't have it against your brother and sister. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That's really true. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Then, of course, there's always the smarty pants in the group that shows up, the little sarcastic person. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, of course, tempting him and saying, "Master, what is the great commandment in the law? What is it anyway?" Yeshua said unto him, "First to love Jehovah your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind." That's the first and great commandment. And then right after that, he goes right into the one that we probably take for granted sometimes. The second is like unto it, supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Really? So on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And even if you read the first 10 commandments, that works out just like that, and all the rest of the commandments. So this neighbor, who is, now this is the neighbor I'm talking about, okay? Rea, an associate, or more or less close, a brother, sister, companion, fellow, friend, husband, or wife, you know. In the Gospel of Luke, it says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" This is probably the same guy, a little different situation here. "He said unto him, 'What is written in the law?'" Yeshua says, "How do you read?" So Yeshua answers a question with a question. And the lawyer said, "Well, you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, all your strength, all your mind, and of course, your neighbor as yourself." So your brother and sister and anyone that's of the body of Messiah. "And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and then you could live.'" So if you love your brother and sister, and you love God, and then you love everyone else, it says you're going to live. Okay, Yeshua said, you answered good. But he willing to justify himself, of course, he goes, "Who is my neighbor anyway?" And Yeshua answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Wow. And here comes a certain priest, Cohen, okay? He saw the guy and he just passed on the other side. He didn't even want to have nothing to do with him. And then here comes a Levite. When he was in the place, he came and looked on him, and he passed on the other side. They always go on the other side. But all of a sudden, a Samaritan showed up, and as he journeyed, came where he was. He actually didn't go on the other side. He actually came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Compassion. And he went to him and bound him up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. That's a lot. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took, even on the next day, he went and got 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come, I will repay you." Which now of these three think was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, "Well, I guess the one that showed mercy on him." And Yeshua said unto him, "Go and do likewise." So we have to show mercy. Yeah, you have to be like the one that shows mercy. In the letter to the Galatians, it says, "I would that they were even cut off that trouble you." Me too. "For brethren and sisters, you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You're supposed to serve one another. Did you get that? Serve one another. "For all that is fulfilled in the law," for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." That'll probably happen sooner or later if you just keep on doing that. biting and devouring one another, instead of showing mercy, and say, well, let's try to add some kind of cure to this situation. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's basically it. Because if you're in the flesh, when you take care of a situation, you lose. Because the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, probably. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, you're not under judgments. You don't get the retribution, the punishments. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, obviously, which are these. And some people, even a couple weeks ago, they didn't understand this. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. You hear that? Uncleanness? Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Now, think of this. Even hatred is in the same class of witchcraft. Variance, emulations. How about this? Wrath and strife. Strife is equal to adultery and fornication. Seditions and heresies, of course. Envyings. If you're envious, some people are envious at other people. Why? I don't know. You're supposed to be happy with whatever God gave you in your life. Murderers. Drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So isn't that weird? So you could be any one of those things and you lose. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We have to learn how to be long-suffering with people, with gentleness, even if your flesh gets, you have to rebuke your flesh, and goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no judgments, of course not, there's no law. And they that are Messiahs have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So we don't live by affections and lusts and feelings and emotions. We still have to do everything righteously. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Don't be desirous of vainglory, because it's just vain. Provoking one another, envying one another. That seems to happen a lot in different way, in different levels. Even people that have left us, they fall into this category. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man and woman, whoever you think you are that judges another. For when you judge another, you're condemning yourself. Wow. For you who judge, you might be doing the same thing without you even knowing it. But we're sure the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. That's different. And you think this, O man or woman that judges them, that you're going to escape the judgment of God, or despises the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. And forbearance, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every person according to his deeds. So to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, they seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. But to them that are contentious, and really they're not obeying the truth, but they're obeying unrighteousness, they're going to get indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of mankind that does evil. And that's to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. No matter who you are. But glory and honor and peace to every person that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Because really, there's no respect of persons with God. It doesn't mean the Jews are over the Gentiles. It just means everything was brought to the Jews first, and they should have known. For as many as have, now here's the scary part, because sometimes we don't think about this. I'll read it slow. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, right? But the scary part is, as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Whoa. Yeah, that's all just right there. That's very right on. For not the hearers of the law just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And Brother Peter, who I enjoy, hope to meet him one day, he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, so whereas they speak against you as evildoers, and some people talk against us as evildoers, they speak against it that they may, by your good works, so we have to overcome evil with good, not with, we don't render railing for railing, you know, that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation, we hope. And we have to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So you catch that with well-doing. That's what we have to use. As free, not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servants of God. So honor all men, love the brothers and sisters, fear God and honor the king. Servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear, not to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man or a woman for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? That's nothing. But when you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently. That's what's acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I know that's a hard lesson to learn, because you know the world sort of teaches, you know, whatever level of vengeance, you know, you want to get your vengeance back at the person. But this is the personality of God right here. It's pretty amazing. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We were a sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So if anyone desires to be first, if you desire to be first, you have to be last of all and servant of all. That's what you're supposed to be. And now here's the scary part. Paul says in this whole scenario, he says, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother or sister perish for whom Messiah died. So if you meet a weak brother or sister, should you just smash them down? Probably not. Because when you sin so against a brother or sister and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Messiah, which is a scary thing. I know sometimes people don't think about that. Everyone's not up the same level, so you have to be careful, because when you sin against their weak conscience, and this was talking about food right here. You know, Paul says, I will eat no meat while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend. So if meat makes, so imagine meat or anything else, if somebody has a weak conscience about anything, so it's better to try to say, well, let's talk it over and work this out. And, you know, let's, instead of like, because you don't want to sin against Messiah. That's really scary. Because those things that proceed out of the mouth, like I said a little minute ago, they come from the heart. And they defile you. You get defiled if you like it or not. So you got to be careful what comes out of your mouth, or you whisper it slightly to someone else, because God still hears you. Put your hand on your mouth, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And these things defile a man or woman. Obviously, somebody that eats with unwashed hands doesn't defile a man or woman. They might catch something, but they're not defiled in God's eyes. So this is really important to discern the difference there. So here's a few more words I'd like to look up. Person that has one of these most likely has them all. Talebearer, Lashon Hara, which is the evil tongue, envy, slander, backbiting, holding a grudge. They just don't want to let it go. They huddle up with other people and they just keep that grudge going without even knowing it's a grudge. Just don't talk about it. Stay away from it. You'll be defiling yourself. Talebearer, rachil, scandalmonger, as traveling about, a slander, carrying tales, talebearer, slanderer, informer, a scandalmonger, as traveling about, you know, people that go around carrying false tales. That happens to us all the time. It says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. Don't make stuff up if you don't know for sure. Don't go, oh, I feel. Forget that I feel or I think. You either know something or you don't. Don't start that, thou shalt not, because otherwise you become a talebearer, because you're carrying tit, you're making up a tale. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yehovah. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. The words of the talebearer as wounds, they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Learning lately that the belly is where a lot of the sicknesses come from, huh? That belly. He that go about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him or her that flatter it with their lips. Some people flatter each other, or they just love each other, and everyone else is sort of lower. So you got to be careful, because you might end up carrying tales. Be careful. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there's no talebearer, strife ceases. And God, you know, I was thinking this morning, you know, every time the feasts come, I always pray that prayer to God, you know. God, take away anyone that's not of the God of Israel, And I always notice somebody always is missing. Wow. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down in the innermost parts of the belly. James says, my brothers and sisters, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Wow. For in many things we offend all. If any offend not in word, the same as a perfect man or woman, and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about the whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about wherever the captain or the governor listed, right? A very small helm. The tongue is a little member. When that says boasted, it means it talks about people and talks about each other and boasts of great things and how great a little fire kindle it. I was thinking about the other day when I lit the fire. I was burning all these boxes, and I just had to light this little thing. It was a little tiny flame, and it lit the whole place up. And it was just like that. How small, how great a little fire kindle it. How great. But the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among all members. And it, unfortunately, defiles your whole body. And it's set on fire, the course of nature, and it's set on fire of hell. Oh, if every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things in the sea have been tamed of mankind. Seems like it. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Because how could you bless God, the Father, and then curse people with the same mouth, which are made in the similitude of God? Out of the same mouth, how could the blessings and cursings come out? These things, my brothers and sisters, they shouldn't happen in plain English. We all know that a fountain can't send forth sweet water and bitter, and a fig tree, brothers and sisters, can't bear olive berries, right? Because it's a fig tree, right? So no fountain can yield salt water and fresh water that I know of. So who is a wise man and woman that endures with knowledge among you? Let them show out of a good conversation their works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle. It's easily to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make shalom, peace. That tongue is really treacherous. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no deceit, guile. Jehovah, who shall abide in thy tabernacle and who shall dwell in your holy hill? Well, the people that walk uprightly, that work righteousness, that speak the truth in their heart, that backbites not with their tongue, nor does evil to their neighbor, nor takes up reproach against their neighbor. So you got to be careful. That's why you got to be really, let things go. Because if you don't forgive them, God won't forgive you, right? In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear Jehovah. He that sweareth to his own hurt and change it not. He that putteth not out his money to usury. You definitely don't want to do that. Nor take it a reward against the innocent. He that does these things shall never be moved. We definitely don't want to charge anyone extra usury. That usury is unjust gain, you know. So you got to keep your tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Backbiting tongue, being slanderous. That I don't think some people think anything about that. Because I don't know if they even know what they're doing, really. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. Holding a grudge, you know, natar. To cherish in anger, bear grudge, reserve anger. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yehovah. It says that constantly. If you go look up that love thy neighbor as yourself, you start thinking, oh boy, that's another whole lesson. Grudge not one against another, brethren and sisters, lest you be condemned. Because the real judge stands at the door. Slander is like defaming, an evil report, infamy, you know. Whoso privily slandered his neighbor, them will I cut off. They that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Oh, he or she that hides hatred with lying lips. Some people try to hide their hatred with lying lips. Or he that uttered a slander, you're just a fool. If you bite and devour one another, you'll be consumed one of another. Let love be without dissimulation. What does that mean? Must abhor that which is evil, hate that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brother or sisterly kindness. Wow. Whew. I wonder why they always talk about this. Everyone talks about this. In honoring, you're supposed to be preferring one another. You're not supposed to prefer one person above another person, or you like this one more than that one. I like everyone equal. I have to. Dissimulation is right here. To disguise one's intentions. That's what the simulation. So you try to disguise your intentions, maybe with little sweet words. You're still dissimulating under a feigned appearance that's not genuine. To conceal one's true feelings or intentions. You think you're concealing your real feelings. We want to be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy, unfeigned. We want to be genuine, right, in everything we do. I guess some people don't want to do that. As touching brotherly or sisterly love, you need not that I write unto you, but sometimes I have to. For you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Envy, kanah. Sometimes when you're envious, in a good way, you could be jealous too for God. Or in a bad way, you could just be envious, you know, where you're jealous at someone. So it's two ways to look at that word. Job says, for wrath killed the foolish man, and envy slays the silly one. It sure does. Envy thou not the oppressed, and choose none of his ways. That's right. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. People that envy. I still can't figure out why people do that. Envy. It says, let not thine heart envy sinners. We definitely don't. I don't look out there for people that, you know, that have more than us, and I go, wow, I wish I had that. Man, what do they have that for? And I don't. Let not your heart envy sinners, but be in the fear of the Lord of Jehovah all the day long. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? The Pharaoh, the patriarchs moved with envy. This is what envy causes you to do. You can actually sell your brothers and sisters. You can sell them away, like Joseph. Yeah, but God was with Joseph. But when the unbelieving Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy. They spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. And envy also takes in, you start being contradicting and blaspheming. The Jews that believed not moved with envy. They took unto them certain, and here's what they always do. They always get lewd fellows of the baser sort. And they gather a company. They always do that. They get people of like-minded evilness. And they set all the city in an uproar. They always do that. Wherever they go, whether it be on the internet or in physical world nowadays, and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring him out to the people. So these are the attributes that follow everyone that envies. They actually go get people just like themselves. And they just try to conjure up any kind of evil they can master or conjure up, I guess. There's that envy. Same list with debate, deceit, maliciousness, murder. Wow, that's just so amazing thinking of that. Just think, if you're envious, you're the same thing as a murderer. It almost doesn't sound equal, does it? But to God it is. So let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantingness, not in strife and envying. Paul tells these Corinthians, he says, you're carnal. Because there's envying and strife and divisions. Envy, strife, and divisions. If there's envying, strife, and divisions, you're definitely carnal, and you walk just as carnal people. So we have to make sure we're all of one mind. We don't esteem one above the other, and we all keep our flesh under control. Otherwise, you're just carnal. For I fear lest I come, I shall not find such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. Lest there be debates, envying, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, See, all the people in the Bible are faced with the same situations that even go on today. So, in closing, remember Numbers 23:23. That's pretty easy to remember. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. Be safe. Halloween or hollow weasel. is Monday. Shabbat Shalom, and I hope you got something out of the study. And the study comes from just different situations that go on in our lives and things I think about. Anyone, I'm going to thank you for being here today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your correction, your reproof. Let us always remember that you're the Father, and we're your children, and we're all brothers and sisters, and the people that leave us and come against us, I pray you'll take care of them. I don't tell you how. And we don't hate anyone, Father. And we just try to live a godly life in this wicked world. Help us, Lord and God. Purify our hearts. Let us be careful what comes out of our lips. Because there's no respect of persons with you. And you listen to everything. Even if it doesn't come out of our lips. Bless and anoint the rest of this Sabbath. Bless the food, the singing, anything we do. And may God bless every one of you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to stop the video. Say goodbye. That's the end of that. One more time. And I'll stop the audio. Let's see if I can find the audio. Where'd it go? There it is. The audio.